All right, this is about my near-death experience. So on September 11th, 1998, I was in a single car accident. I rolled four times, was ejected from the sunroof while on a country road, going too fast around a curve. So the car went outside the white line, caught some gravel, slid sideways, caught some traction, shot across into a field, hit this embankment, and rolled four times, ejected from the sunroof. So I'm laying in this field and wondering what the heck is going on. My mind was playing tricks on me because I had severe head trauma. And if you read of fatalities, a lot of people die from severe head trauma. So I'm laying in the field. I tried to stand up. I fell back down, in and out of consciousness. Fortunately, somehow, miraculously, was not cut, was not, you know, missing any limbs. Like, I was pretty much no bruises or anything, just laying there. And then, due to it being in the field, it was about 10 p.m. at night in this country. It was in Geneva, New York. And on this field, there was a house at the edge of the field. And the story goes, because my stepbrother ended up working in the fire department with one of the first responders who heard this from the person in the house. They were in bed. The husband got up, looked out the window, and looking into the field, didn't see any lights. Because in the roll of the vehicle four times, the battery fell out. So there were no lights. And he went back to bed. And then, you know, about an hour later, he said something happened. Like, I got to call 911. So they called 911. By the time they got there, it was not good. They ordered the helicopter to come lift me to the airport. But prior to that, my experience was this, my near-death experience. So I'm laying in the field. And I'm like, they'll be here soon. And the soon just seemed to go on forever. So long story short, in and out of consciousness, next thing you know, I see someone lying in the field. And I'm about 20 feet in the air. And I see someone, and it's confusing to me. I'm like, well, who's this? What's going on? And then I focus in and realize it's me lying in the field. And at that moment, when I realized it was me, I was pulled up, and I'm now standing in this all white light experience. And standing there, I'm confused. And my life literally flashed in front of my eyes. And I saw my sisters and my family crying at my funeral. And that was very painful to see that. And when that happened, you know, it just felt like incomplete. I felt like, man, this is a waste to have to leave now. Something or someone came up and put their arm around me, and instantly the confusion went away. Any fear went away. I just knew everything was perfect. And even though it was all pure white light, we turned 180 degrees. And when we turned 180 degrees, it's all white light, but we're staring at these doors, and these doors are open, and it's just emanating this huge amounts of light coming at me and this thing that was next to me. We start walking towards the doors. And halfway there, I said, stop. This isn't how it was supposed to end. I know you had more for me to accomplish. Send me back. And that's the last thing I remember. Apparently, I had been helicopter lifted from that accident scene to the University of Rochester Medical Center, Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York. And when I woke, I had a respirator breathing for me in intensive care unit, ICU. All I remember is that it's very painful to have a respirator breathing for you once you gain consciousness. And it's like, I just took a breath in. It breathes in and out. Whether you want to breathe in, it's on its own thing, and it's very painful. So they took the respirator out. I had severe head trauma, and I had some nerve damage in my leg. Now, with severe head trauma, I also had aphasia. And what aphasia is I would think something, and when I tried to speak that, it would come out just random words. And I've actually chatted with some nurses that work in intensive care, and they were interested in hearing how this works because they could recognize the frustration of people that they're dealing with. So I knew when I said it, that wasn't what I was trying to say. And I would try it again, and more random words would come out. So basically, you would think, like it says, click here at any time to view the post on Periscope. I see an image here that comes up. And it would just say red, cat, house, barn, you know, random words. And I would know that's not what I'm trying to say. and with severe head trauma. I don't know all the details. I'm no nurse or doctor or anything, but apparently my head was swelled. And that led to the aphasia. And with that, they don't know if the person will gain back full capacity or any variants of staying that way forever or getting better. They don't know. So the nurses and the doctors would tell me that you may, you know, with the severe head trauma and with the nerve damage, you may never walk or talk properly again. And they weren't saying that negatively. They weren't saying that, you know, to keep me down. That was just the reality is when you have severe head trauma and you have nerve damage, sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't. But when I heard that, I would just shake my head no. Not for 1 second did I believe that I wouldn't be talking and I wouldn't be walking. And so as soon as I could walk with a walker, I signed a whole stack of papers for early release because I didn't want to be in that environment where they kept telling me I may never walk or talk again because I didn't believe it. And I felt that if I did believe it, I may never walk or talk again properly. So I signed the early release papers, left the hospital, and I had what's called drop foot. So my leg would drag. You ever seen someone walking and that leg drags behind? I had that for a couple years after the accident. And then finally, I'd be talking to my leg and patting it and said, look, you know, I apologize for putting you through what I put you through, but you're still there. So do whatever you got to do so that I don't have this leg dragging anymore because I'm tired of telling the same story. And after a couple of years, with focusing on it and with, you know, thinking and turning the foot in, I now walk. My sister's a physical therapist, so she can tell my right leg, it does have a little bit of it kicks out a little bit. But if you're not a physical therapist, you would never know. So my mind, you know, some would say that it's not fully there. You get what I'm saying? But my mind came back. I'm able to speak. I will say this. When I'm very, very tired, sometimes it's hard to connect the words of what I'm thinking to what's being said. So I have to make sure I get proper sleep. If I go sleep deprivation, my mind gets a little bit loopy in that regards. But for all purposes, after that crash and after the few months to a year or so afterwards, I can walk and talk and went back to normal life. I did go and speak for people that had severe head trauma damage, and it was a reminder to me of how fortunate I am and I was, because there were people that were normal prior to a crash, and then afterwards they're in a wheelchair. Afterwards they have to wear the helmet, and afterwards they're unable to speak. They're unable to move. So I recognize that it was an absolute blessing to get back to somewhat normal. And when I spoke with them, I didn't want to give them a false sense of hope, but I did want to let them know that with, you know, determination and with thinking of overcoming these things and taking the proper steps through rehabilitation, et cetera, that they may, you know, improve their ability to move certain body parts. They may improve their ability to speak and communicate, but to not give up, right? To keep pressing on and know that, you know, for me, my story and my experience was unique, but my hope for them was to not give up and not think that they could never walk or talk again properly, but follow the process, believe that with time, effort, energy, they could get back to a more normal life and existence. So anyhow, just wanted to share that because I've told it several times in live presentations and whatnot, but I heard some people that still hadn't heard my near-death experience. Now, I wish that I was able to flip a switch on everybody to help them feel what I feel after a near-death experience without having to go through the near-death experience. And that is, this is my second chance. And literally every day, each of us could choose, this is my new beginning. The old way doesn't have to be the new way. I can live boldly and go for my dreams because here's my thought. I am invincible until I'm not. I am immune to death until I'm not. I won't live a second shorter or a second longer than what I'm meant to live. And while I'm still alive, it's my duty to live. Not out of fear, not out of negativity, not out of holding myself back, but in boldness and gaining clarity on what it is that's mine to do and going for it. Because this journey is brief, regardless of how long each of us live. It's over like that. So while we're here, get clear on what it is that you desire, personally and professionally, for your health, for your relationships, for your finances. And get clear on where you are, where you want to go, and put a plan of action in place that can get you one step at a time, one day at a time. And you will be amazed how one step at a time, one day at a time, you will get so far in the progress. And the accomplishments that you'll have will be so amazing. And the happiness and the joy will be so incredible because you're seizing the moment. You're not letting fear to hold you back. You're not letting other people's opinions hold you back. You're boldly gaining clarity on what it is that you desire and taking one step at a time to get there. So that's my near-death experience. I hope it is helpful for you. I have a whole bunch of great resources for free. If you go to thesimplifier.com, you can register for my app, which has over $5,000 of free gifts waiting for you to help you take your health, your relationships, and your finances to the next level. Go to thesimplifier.com, and I will see you there. Until next time, make today great.